Hey, it's not every day the president conducts global trade through a televised speakerphone call.
It's a big day for trade, big day for our country. A lot of people thought we'd never get here.
After more than a year of negotiating the North American Free Trade Agreement, President Trump announced on Monday that the U.S. and Mexico have agreed to new trade terms.
They used to call it NAFTA. We're going to call it the United States-Mexico Trade Agreement. We'll get rid of the name NAFTA. It has a bad connotation because the United States was hurt very badly by NAFTA for many years. And now it's a really good deal for both countries. And we look very much forward to it. And I believe the president is on the phone. Enrique?
But NAFTA was a deal between the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. So what happened to negotiations with our northern neighbor? There are still many questions on what the future of trade with the three countries will look like. Amber McKinney is assistant managing editor at Law 360 and co-host of the Pro Se podcast. Amber, thanks so much for helping us figure this all out.
Happy to be here, Cindy.
So first off, explain this deal as much as you can. How is this agreement different from the old one? And does it fix the trade deficit that the president's been complaining about?
Well, Cindy, no matter what the president wants to name this deal, we're still talking about NAFTA negotiations. So there's problems with excluding Canada from the talks at this point, which we can get into. But the deal itself is still fundamentally based on how NAFTA works. And that means there's no tariffs between our two neighbors and the U.S. So what's different in this deal is that the administration had said for a long time that they were going to stick to some hardline things they wanted out of Canada and Mexico, including a really strict sunset clause for the entire deal, which meant that it would all stop after 5 years if all three countries didn't re-up the deal. This deal changes that with Mexico. It's now a 16-year term. There's also changes with things like auto production. There's these things called origin rules about where auto manufacturing happens. Under the new agreement, 75% of automobiles have to be made in Mexico and the U.S. That's up from about 62% in a previous NAFTA agreement.
Okay. So in the call with Trump yesterday, Mexico's outgoing president, President Enrique Peña Nieto, said that it is Mexico's wish for Canada to be incorporated in the trade negotiations. Why was Canada excluded from this deal in the first place?
Trade negotiations with Canada have been very tense this year, and things have really been on a fast track with this NAFTA renegotiation. I think we're up to about round seven of talks, and that's over about a year period. Canada didn't take well to some of these hardline measures that the U.S. administration had proposed. Mm-hmm. And so there was movement between Mexico and the U.S. without Canada, hoping that agreement with those two countries could leverage Canada back to the table and into some of what Donald Trump wants to get out of that country.
I'm speaking with Amber McKinney from Law 360, and we're talking about the U.S.-Mexico trade deal announced yesterday. Okay, Amber, so now tell us about the legality of the deal that was announced yesterday. There's a law that allows trade deals to be fast-tracked through Congress, but does the exclusion of Canada put the deal into legally questionable territory?
This is what I really want to talk about because I think it's getting a little bit overlooked in the coverage of this NAFTA point we're at now. It's really important to stress that nothing is official without Congress signing off. And the way that that normally works is under something called the Trade Promotion Authority. It was a law passed back in 2015. That law said that if the White House comes to Congress and says, we're going to negotiate a new trade deal, here's who we're negotiating with, here's a long list of all the things that we have as objectives, and then they give updates to Congress along the way, then in return for all of that upfront clarity, Congress will vote up or down on an agreement once it's reached. No amendments added, nothing to sort of bog down the process from the congressional side. What has happened here is that the White House came to Congress, tried to comply with this Trade Promotion Authority, but they said they were negotiating a new NAFTA, a trilateral agreement with Mexico and Canada.
Okay.
Now that we've reached the point where the negotiations were just with Mexico and what Trump announced yesterday was an agreement just with one country, there are many in Congress who say that, well, then that violates this TPA. You don't get the fast track anymore. If you come to us with a deal that's just with Mexico, we're essentially starting at square one. You'd have to provide reports. There'd have to be hearings about this. You won't get that fast track treatment.
Okay, so you're saying that there are members of Congress who are aware of this and who are bringing this point up?
Definitely. And they brought it up even before the news of yesterday. This was brought up back in July by a group of Democratic House members, many of whom are states that share a border with Canada. And they were worried that as talks progressed toward just Mexico and the U.S., that this exact thing would happen. They said that it would not pass muster under the TPA and that Trump should really sort of slow down. And you're hearing a little bit of rhetoric out of the White House. They know that Congress knows this. So we had the U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer saying on a call yesterday that if they do have a deal that excludes Canada, that what they would do is notify Congress that there's a bilateral agreement and that Canada is, quote, welcome to join. He seemed to imply that just by opening the door to Canada that they would have fulfilled their obligation under the TPA. But that's a very debatable point.
Okay. And is it the Democrats in Congress who are bringing this up?
You know, trade is one of those things where it's tricky on both sides. So you have Democrats who are opposed to this deal. And traditionally, Democrats are skeptical of trade deals because they're worried about protections for workers. On the GOP side, they're worried about barriers to investment. So they're really worried about it from the company angle. And you have senators like Orrin Hatch saying that Canada should really be brought into this deal and that they're not going to be happy if this becomes a bilateral agreement.
Okay, so what do you think the chances are that they would do anything about it?
Well, I think we're at a really critical point this week, and it's something to really keep your eye on because the administration is saying that they hope to bring Canada into the fold by the end of the week. So we had Chrystia Freeland, who's the Canadian representative, the minister there that's handling this trade deal. She changed her travel arrangements, has come to the U.S. to sit down and try to talk about this. So there is a possibility that we'd see really quick movement from Canada and that we could maybe get back to a trilateral agreement by the end of the week. But that's all still up in the air as of right now.
All right. So it looks like there's a lot more to watch going forward.
There is always a lot to watch on trade with the Trump administration, so we'll definitely have to keep an eye out.
Amber McKinney is the assistant managing editor at Law 360 and co-host of the Pro Se podcast. Thanks so much, Amber.
Thanks for having me.